Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight. Yes, you are now once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And yes, this is Thursday night, April the 19th, 2018. I am your host, Executive Director, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm asking all the listeners, as I always do, get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God as he get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. And also, we always open up with prayer. So we're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all the listeners, especially the first-time listeners, if you're going to be tuning in often, this is how we open up our broadcast. We always open up with prayer. So God is always first. So we're going to ask all listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again as a corporate body of believers over this worldwide platform, giving your name praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy towards each one of us on tonight. We know that we are not worthy of them. We don't deserve them. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you're not like man. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are always in total control, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or even what we think. We thank you that you're not like man. We thank you that you have all power in your hands. Heavenly Father, we know that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal on tonight. So for that reason, we come lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight, Heavenly Father, knowing that you are our comforter and our strength even in our hour of bereavement. We want to lift up the family of First Lady Barbara Bush. The first family of First Lady Barbara Bush, who made her transition on yesterday. We want to continue to lift up her family and that you would comfort and strengthen them, and not only that family, but every family that is going through their bereavement hour at this moment all over the land. We know that you know where they are. We know that you know how to reach them and how to touch their hearts and console them and comfort and strengthen them even at this time. So we ask that you would continue to comfort and strengthen your people all over the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we also come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We know that you are the doctor. You are the chief physician. You have never lost a patient, and you never will. So we come on behalf of Brother Brandon. Heavenly Father, we know that you're still working miracles, and he is living proof that you're working miracles even today. So we thank you for what you're doing in Brother Brandon's life, Sister Bridget's son. We thank you for what you're doing in his life, that he will have another testimony of your healing power. And, oh, God, we lift up also Brother and Sister Raymond and Ruby Ebinger. They are both dealing with a husband and wife. They are both dealing with cancer at the same time. They're both dealing with going through radiation and chemotherapy at the same time. But we know that you are still a healer. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to give them the strength that they need to continue to hold on to the faith that they have in you, knowing that you are a healer and you still work miracles even today. Even through them as husband and wife, you can heal not just one of them, you can heal them both at the same time. So we just ask that you continue to give them strength to continue to lean on and depend on you, knowing that their help and their strength comes from you. And all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to touch and heal and strengthen their bodies, especially those, Heavenly Father, that are dealing with mental illnesses and mental challenges. We ask that you would continue to lead them and guide them by their minds, Heavenly Father, and help them to be able to get the resources and the physical and the mental help that they need and that they're seeking, Heavenly Father, that they would be able to continue to fulfill their purposes in the earth and their gifts and talents to society, that you would be glorified through them. So we pray, Lord, now that you would move by your spirit over the airways on tonight, as you always do. Continue to lead and guide us as we go forward over this worldwide platform, that you would be glorified through everything that is done on tonight through your man of God. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in each one of us, each even our worldwide listeners, Heavenly Father. We thank you for them, and we don't take them lightly. We thank you for every listener, Heavenly Father, that have come on in the past. We thank you for the listeners now, and we even thank you in advance for the listeners that are going to come on board in the future. So we just thank you for this worldwide platform. We don't take it lightly or for granted. Neither do we take the listeners for granted. We just thank you for each one, and we thank you for this worldwide platform and opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So we just ask that you would continue to have your way through this ministry. Continue to bless it, that it will become more than we could ever imagine, that the world will see and know through this worldwide platform that you are real and that Jesus Christ is real, and that many souls will be saved through this worldwide platform. It is our prayer and hope and desire that something will be said on tonight that will open the spiritual eyes of those that may be still spiritually blind on tonight, that they will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will too come to know their God purpose and walk in and live in and fulfill their God purposes in the earth. Is our prayer in Jesus' name for each one of them. We pray and lift up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars and jails and institutions and detention centers. We pray, Lord, that you would send a vessel, a word into those institutions, that even those that are behind prison bars, they would come to know Jesus Christ and be saved, and they would even be able to fulfill that God purpose even behind prison bars. Even as they come out of those correctional institutions, they will know that you have brought them out, and they will share the good news, what you have done for them through your word while they was incarcerated, that you will be glorified through them, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we just ask that you would have your way on tonight, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, we are most effective to others when we hurt most. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, we are most effective to others when we hurt most. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. Once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And once again, I do thank each listener and everyone that emails me and contacts me through Facebook, letting me know how they appreciate this worldwide ministry and the blessings that they receive from tuning in to this ministry. So we thank you for sharing your comments and feedback. We ask that you continue to share your comments and feedback. Again, my email is all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com, or I can be found on Facebook. In the form of announcements, I only have one, and this is great, excited news, and this is for worldwide listeners everywhere. For those of you that love gospel music, this is for you on tonight. I'm sure we have people over in Europe We have people over in Russia. We have people over in China and all Africa, France, Italy, Spain, all over the United States that love gospel music, as such as myself. We are so proud to announce through Brother Marcel West, he is the coordinator. He is announcing through this worldwide ministry, the Detroit Gospel Journey. This is a complication of all the world famous and world known legendary gospel singers and choirs that he have put together. A lot of these gospel legends have passed on and made their transitions, and they are now resting in the Lord. So he have come together and compilated all of their gospel music and got them into like CD volumes. I think it's like two or three different volumes, nothing but legendary gospel singers and choirs that singing God's praises and gospel music and hymns. So if you would like to purchase this great movement that Brother Marcel West has done through and with the help of the Lord, because we know that people are blessed through music, and I know that God gets glory through our praise as we praise him through our music. So I'm excited on behalf of Brother Marcel West to announce that Detroit Gospel Journey is now available, and you can either order tickets. They are going to be having a musical in Detroit somewhere, and I don't have the location yet, but they will be coming down soon. As soon as I get that information, I will pass it on to the listeners, especially for those of you that are going to be in the Detroit area who would like to attend this great event. There are CDs that will be available, and I will be getting all of that information, the download website, how you can download, and how you can also go to, I think it's through Amazon, how you can purchase your CDs through Amazon also. And again, this announcement, I don't have all of the information, but I'm just making this announcement now because it's in its final stages now. And so available through Amazon.com is these great gospel legendary musicians that have come together, even in their passing, through Brother Marcel West, their coordinator. He had put together this gospel journey of legendary gospel music that you will greatly enjoy. So if you don't buy it or purchase it for yourself, you can purchase it for someone that you love. And if you are in the area in Detroit when they have the event, I will be giving you the location and where you can purchase your tickets. So those are my announcements for now on tonight. So I pray that you will take those notes down. And again, I will be making future announcements regarding the Detroit Gospel Journey very soon. As soon as I get more information, I will be passing that along to you, the listeners. Well, we're getting ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox as he's ready to bring forth and share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's Word. But before he do that, we're going to go into our music break on tonight, because we are so grateful for this worldwide platform. We are so grateful for you, the listeners, on tonight. We want you to know that we do not take you lightly. We thank God for each one of you, and I ask that you will continue to share the good news about this worldwide ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed as well. So as we get ready to go into our music break titled, You Are God Alone, and aren't you glad to know again that God is not like man? God, he keeps his promises. He is faithful. He still watches over his word to perform it in the lives of his saints on today, and he's still working miracles even today. So I thank God for who he is on today, and so we just ask that you would be blessed by this musical selection, You Alone Are God. Bear with me. I know how the enemy try to stop things when we try to do what we got to do for the Lord, but he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So bear with me just 1 second. No one else Aren't you glad to know that God is God alone? No matter what it looks like, no matter what man might try to say or how man might try to manipulate or try to trick you or try to make you think that they are in control, God is God alone, and he is in total control at all times. He never slumbers nor sleeps, and he is in total control, and he is God alone. That is good news on tonight. So I pray that you was blessed by that musical selection as I was. Now we are ready to receive the word on tonight through the person of Deacon Marvin Cox. And right now he's going to come forth first sharing with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into the word of God on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
To reach out to his people. Thank God, for truly it is an honor for me to be able to bring forth his word. Okay, I will now read to you from this poem that the Lord gave me. It's called A Best Selling Book. Your life is the material for a best-selling book. Turn the pages, peep inside for a much closer look. There's mystery, drama, and comedy too, and the wonderful love story inside of you. There's triumph, tragedy, victory and defeat. These are the chapters that make your life complete. Your being born is truly a reason to cheer. The odds were 1,000,000 to 1 that you would not make it here. The death-defying illnesses that you overcame makes you a candidate for the Hall of Fame. Taking your first steps when you said you wouldn't walk, speaking your first words when they say you couldn't talk. The jokes you played while in your youth, the spanking you got for not telling the truth. In your teenage years of how you came of age, this is getting interesting. Turn to the next page. Your first bicycle learning to skate, your very first crush. Your parents said you'd be grown up soon. There's no need to rush. Friends or loved ones dying, you get into a fix. All of this happened in chapter number 6. The agony you went through was beyond belief. The trauma, the depression, the heartache, the grief. What about the joy you had when love walked into your life? Then a few years later, love became your husband or your wife. The children that followed, the houses, the cars, the people you met, the celebrities, the stars. Joining the church, uniting with God's Son, realizing your journey into eternity had just begun. Overcoming obstacles that once blocked your way, giving thanks to the Lord by learning how to pray. You may think your life is boring, but please take another look. Your life is the material for a best-selling book. Amen. The Lord gave me that years ago, and I can give it to you because there are a lot of us right now that feel that our life is worthless, that our life is meaningless, that we're so frustrated by what's going on in the world today that there's so many people. Suicide is at an all-time high. Murder is at an all-time high. Why? Because we don't put the value that we should on human life. But I'm here to tell you that regardless of what you may be going through now, that your life is a material for a best-selling book. If they could turn a best-selling book from a horse named Flicker or Ren 10-10 or Lassie or Apollo 13, then your life is much more valuable than those things. So I just thank you and thank the Lord for the opportunity to present you with that. Now I'm going to go into the lesson, and I'll be reading to you from the book of Jonah, the 3rd chapter, verses 4 and verse number 5. Let's read. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I've just read unto you from the book of Jonah, the 3rd chapter, the 4th and the 5th verse from the King James Bible. And may the Lord have the blessing, the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may it edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, normally I give history on the lesson to bring people up to date on what is being said. Not taken for granted that anyone is not aware of what's going on, but the more history you have on something, the better you're able to understand it. Now, our topic for tonight is you're on the clock. And there should have been a comment there, and it says a saving word. I'm going to give you the history on Jonah, and then I'm going to go directly into the lesson. Now, Jonah, God had commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh in the first chapter of the first book of Jonah, first chapter, the first verse, to go and cry out against Nineveh. He said, because their evil had come up before him. Now, to give you a brief history on Jonah, Jonah was an Israeli Jew. And the Assyrians were mortal enemies of the Jews. They were such enemies that they were doing all types of atrocities against God's people. So instead of Jonah going into the direction that God told him to go, he went way out of his way to avoid doing that which God had told him to do. But see, God in his mercy, even though that go against us, even though they go against his people, God has a merciful side that it is his desire for all men to be saved. But Jonah had another idea. So Jonah went to another place. He was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish, which was maybe 500 miles or so out of the way. But God still had something that he wanted Jonah to do. And I want you to know there is a consequence when we go against God. We just don't get off free. We go through something when we are disobedient to God. But he had assigned Jonah that one particular assignment that he wanted him to go and he wanted him to cry out against Nineveh. He wanted to take Nineveh what I consider to be a saving word. In the process of him bringing forth this saving word, then it could change the lives of those people that were in Nineveh. But Jonah went through his ordeal. We're familiar with the story that he went to. He got on the ship. A great tempest arose. The people on the ship didn't exactly know what to do. Jonah went down to the belly of the ship. He was sleeping, so they discovered that the wrath of God was directed at Jonah. So in order to save the people, Jonah told them to throw him overboard. And then from there, he ended up in the belly of a great fish. Some people say a whale, but the Bible says a great fish. And then he was in there for so long, and then the fish deposited him. And you know, it's kind of funny how sometimes when God wants you to do something, that you go everywhere except for where the Lord tell you to go, but you still end up at the intended place that the Lord sent you. And so Jonah went, and God gave him another order. He said, I say unto you again, the second time, at the beginning of chapter number 3, I'll read that to you. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So God gave Jonah the instructions to go and tell Nineveh, or go bring forth to Nineveh, a saving word. So in obedience to God this time, because Jonah no doubt had learned his lesson with the ordeal that he had went through, he went. In verse number 3 of the third chapter says, so Jonah rose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Now, the word is telling us that it would take an average man 3 days to cross from one side of Nineveh unto the other. But I'm not going to get into the geographics or anything like that. And it said Nineveh was a great city, so it had a population of well over 100,000. And God wanted Jonah to go and to preach whatever he bid it unto Nineveh. So verse number 4, and Jonah began to enter to the city a day's journey. So almost as soon as he entered into the city, he began to preach. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now I want to stop right there. The Lord told Jonah to take Nineveh a saving word. He told Jonah to go and tell the people that their destruction was going to come. They would be overthrown in 40 days. Now, this is where we come up with the topic at, about you're on the clock. Not only the Ninevites were on the clock, but I'm on the clock. Brother Brown is on the clock. All of us is on the clock because God has given each and every last one of us an opportunity to do what it is that he would have us to do. Now, God was more specific this time, or his word was more specific time. It said, yet 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, it's something interesting happened in that fifth verse. It says, if you have a King James Bible, it says right before verse number 5, it says, Nineveh, repent. I want to tell you the significance of that. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, Jonah was the one that delivered the message. Jonah was the one that had brought forth God's word in such a way and with such authority that the people, they didn't believe Jonah, they believed God, because Jonah was speaking God's word. And something miraculous happened at that time. The whole city of 120, they got different amounts of people, but it was well over anywhere from 120 to 150,000 people. They began to repent. Could you imagine one of our largest cities having a day, not only a day, but consecutive years of repentance? Whereas God, we believe God, we believe in such a way that we turn away from the things that we are doing that is contrary to him. Now, this did not include the children. It did not include the livestock. But in verse number 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now, we know that back in those days it was traditional when someone was in mourning or someone was in repentance for them to rent their clothes and for them to sit in ashes, because those ashes represented the repentance. And so, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let him not feed nor drink water. So this was a national or citywide fest. Fast as in F-A-S-T, that the king proclaimed. He said, nobody, I don't care who you is, we're going to do without this, in obedience to what God has just brought forth. So this saving word, it penetrated the hearts. It penetrated the mind of the king and the nobles, and and the people. So they were in obedience unto God's word. Now, see, this is a saving word. Now, God's word can be saving. It could be healing. And it could also bring about a warning. Now, this call unto repentance that was brought forth through Jonah by God was a wonderful thing. Now, I'm telling you now that we are on the clock. When I first came into the Lord, I thought I had plenty of time to do anything that I wanted to do, but I found out as my years become far spent that I had less time to do the things that would please my flesh and more time to do the things that were pleasing in the eyesight of God. Now, over in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, down through the 11th verse, it instructs us and it tells us about the time that we have the things to do. And it tells us, and it's speaking in opposites. It's speaking that it's a time to live, a time to die, a time to plant up a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which has been planted, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Now, God would be unfair to give us all this time to do all of these other things and not give us time to serve him. It's a time to work, and it's a time to play. So, my brothers and my sisters, you're on the clock. That saving word that was brought forth, and if you go back in biblical history, it was only one other time, but not with the magnitude of the people that were saved that particular day in Nineveh. When the sermon in the upper room were brought forth, God's word said that it was 300. And no doubt it was more people in the upper room at that time than 300, but it said 300 were added to the rolls. But could you imagine 150,000, not including the children and the beast and the flock and the herd and so forth, that submitted unto God's word? So this saving word, this word of repentance that was brought forth by Jonah was a saving word. My brothers and sisters, we're on the clock not to let our work be undone that God has instructed us to do. We don't want the time to come when the word says, not me, but the word says, Father, I gave them ample enough time to repent, but they repented not. God would be unfair to allow each and every last one of us to go out there and build up a reputation as a hard worker out there in the world and not be a laborer for him. He's fair. He says, in 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That's over in Exodus. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son. There's no exceptions to the rules. So that saving word that Jonah brought forth, and see, sometimes we look at the messenger, and in the process of us looking at the messenger, we take our eyes or we lose our focus on the message. Now, whatever animosity Jonah had in his heart against the Assyrians, against the Ninevites, maybe someone could have picked up all on that. But the authority of God supersedes all anger. It supersedes all ignorance. It supersedes all confusion. So the people of Nineveh, they believed in God. They believed that what Jonah had just brought forth was true. Now, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to let those words penetrate. And see, God was specific. It said, yet 40 days. So they had 40 days to get their acts together. And see, something miraculous happened. See, God does not change how he feels about us because he already knows. It's already preconceived. It's already in his heart of how he feels about us. But guess what? He will give you an opportunity to change the way that you feel about him. Now, if I was you, I would seize upon this opportunity to change how I feel, to change how I treat my neighbor, to change how I treat my wife, to change how I treat my kids, to change my perspective on this world. Because God, he had designated, say, and yet 40 days, Nineveh would be overthrown. It did not say in which way it would be overthrown. That's nonspecific. But no doubt, if it was like Sodom and Gomorrah, then we wouldn't have no traces of Nineveh. And see, God is so good and God is so merciful that he gives each and every last one of us before he steps in and do the ultimate thing that could happen to us, and that's to snatch us up off of this earth. He gives us an opportunity. He warns us. He warns us through his people. He warns us through his son. There's so many things that God gives us a warning about. And it's time to take heed to that. Now, as I said, Nineveh had a great population. There was a great city. And everybody in the city for a little while did what it was that they were supposed to do. Now, can you imagine how pleased God was? Not that he changed his mind about overthrowing Nineveh. Not that the word said that God, and he repented. And God's, okay. I'm going down to verse 10 of the third chapter of Jonah. And the reason, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of his evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Do you know how powerful that statement is? Is it anything that I could do for God to postpone that punishment that he says that he's going to mete out against me because of my disobedience? Say, God repented. And see, when you repent, repenting is a change of mind or a change of heart, because you see that somebody is making an effort to do what it is that you have requested for them to do. Now, from the king on down, but see, the king had the authority to order the people. But I'm more than sure that if it had been one unclean heart, if it had been one unclean thought in the crowd, that the Bible would have said so. I'm more than sure that it would have singled out that individual, would have said, except for this person or except for that person. So can we collectively yield unto that saving word that our preachers are bringing forth every Sunday, every Thursday, every Saturday, every Wednesday, every time we assemble ourselves in a house of prayer or our place, various places of worship? Can we do that? We owe that to ourselves, to heed the word of what the man of God is saying. And if that gentleman is not credible, listen to what God is saying, because there are some people that we refuse to accept the word of God from. Well, that preacher's suits are too flashy. His hair is too long. His wife talks too much. We find so many ways to discredit that man or that woman of God that we lose focus on what it is that God has told us. So my brothers, I beseech you, and my sisters, I implore you, I beg you to allow that saving word, that word of repentance. And it comes in many ways. Sometimes it comes verbal. Sometimes it comes nonverbal. Because we can turn on our TV sets. We can look at how our neighbor's wife is being treated. And that's a nonverbal communication to us, because people will show you two things. I'm a firm believer in that, that they will show you how to be or how not to be without even speaking a word. So it's time for us to allow and continue to allow and tell our children. See, the king had authority over the whole city. But what about those that we have authority over, like our children and our wives? I mean, it's nothing for us to tell them, or our sons or our daughters. It's nothing for us to tell them what thus said the Lord. Because all we can do is tell them. We can't force them. But when you tell them, believe it or not, you have done what it is that the Lord has asked for you to do. And that's all that he requires you to do. And his word, I believe recently I told you that the word is saying, Father, I told them. You know, and when we tell them, there's no more that we can do. Watchmen, what of the night? Did you warn my people of the danger to come? So each and every last one of us have an assignment, just like God gave Jonah, regardless of how credible or how disobedient or how contrary we might be at times. God gave Jonah a second time to go and tell his people. Verse number 1 of the book of Jonah said, and a second time God came unto Jonah and told him, go and cry out and preach what I bid thee. That was non-specific. The first time it says, go and cry out, because there evil have come up against me. So we don't really know what the original message was. But we know what the second message was. It was that they're going to be overthrown yet 40 days. You got 40 days to get your affairs in order. I'm bringing you a saving word, whether you want to yield to it, heed to it, or not. The clock is running. You're on the clock. From the day we are born to the day that we leave this earth, we're on the clock, because there's a certain thing that God has designated for each and every last one of us to do. And we've been all instructed more than one time as to what it is. There's no mystery. He wants to hear his son. Hear my son, whom I'm very well pleased. Hear ye him. Repent and turn from our ways. He wants us to love one another as he had loved us. He wants us to do all of these things. He wants us to treat our neighbors fairly. He wants us not to covet our neighbor's wife. It's just a handful of things that God wants us to do. Now, are you willing at this day and at this time, and it's not a gloom and doom message, it's a message of encouragement. Are you willing to allow that saving word that preacher, that deacon that you keep looking down on because he's wearing those same old raggedy shoes, which you feel in your mind don't, you know, he could dress better than that. Stop looking at the people and listen to what it is that God has given them to give us. You can't go wrong. Now, as many people that because of the dislike that Jonah had in his heart for the Assyrians and for the Ninevites, it's a lot of Ninevites that would have said, well, that's just rhetoric that he's talking. He's talking that hateful talk. He don't like us anyway. Now, how many times have we, when somebody came to us and told us the truth, that we repeated those same things, oh, he don't like me no way. Why are you putting me on Front Street? But see, in verse number 5, I'm going back to verse number 5, in the third verse, it said the most powerful thing that we could ever imagine that was said. And this was after Jonah had delivered a message. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. And see, if you look at it, they did this without the authority of the king. The king found out about it just a little bit later. So are you willing to proclaim a fast in your life? Are you willing to purify yourself of the impurities and of the toxins that we ingest on a daily basis? And by me saying the toxins, the impurities, I'm talking about some of these TV programs, some of these novels that we read, some of these thoughts that penetrate our mind on a daily basis, because the Bible says, so thinketh the man in his heart, then so is he. So if I allow these thoughts to dominate me, if I allow these impure thoughts, these toxins which are going to poison my system against God, I cannot allow these things to overtake me. So my brothers and my sisters, once again, that saving word, you're on the clock. I'm on the clock. I'm specifically on the clock as we speak. Brother James have said, Brother Brown has said quite a few good things about me. But there's so many other things that I have to correct in my life. And I appreciate them acknowledging that I am at least putting forth an effort and trying to do what God would have me to do. So I'm never, and I will never be satisfied with my performance, because I know that I can do better. My brothers and my sisters, regardless of what your performance is or what your record is in the Lord, you can do better. And I'm not saying that in a put-down way. I'm saying that in an encouraging way. I'm saying that I know, God knows that you can do better. We all know that you can do better. So we're going to take this saving word that was brought forth tonight. It was a word of repentance that hundreds of thousands of people in one place at one time believed in. They initiated in their life, and instead of 40 years, they went over 130 years, 120 years without the wrath of God turning back on them. Now, they eventually went back to how they was acting. But 120 years, I'm not going to say for a brief moment in time, but according to God, it is a brief moment in time. So for a brief moment in time, they did what God asked them to do. Their lives were spared. They were not overthrown. So if these things can happen to those that hated God the most, hated his people the most, what say ye about those that love God? So I thank you for your time. I thank you for allowing me to come into your space this evening. And may God bless you, and may he ever keep you. Remember, you're on the clock. But remember, that's a saving word. Amen. Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for reminding us that we are on the clock. Not our own clock. We're on God's clock. We're on God's time. So what are you doing with your time that God has allotted you? So when you stand before God in the day of judgment, what would you hear him say unto you? So remember, you are on the clock, God's time. This is not your time or mine. It's God's time. So we thank God for this powerful word on tonight. I know that it was a blessing to the listeners as well as to myself. So we pray that God was glorified through this word on tonight. So as we get ready to close out tonight, we close out in prayer. As we always do, I'm asking all listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. We thank you for this word that reminds us that we are on your clock, Heavenly Father. We are on your time. It's not about our time. It's about yours. So what are we doing with the time that you have allotted us? We pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts and the minds of those that are slacking and that are backsliders and have fallen away from the relationship with you, that they cannot fulfill their God purposes, fulfilling the time and using the clock wisely and the time wisely that you have given to each one of us, those that have gone astray. We pray that this word have reached them and they would be able to ask you to forgive them of all their sins and transgressions in Jesus' name so they can be in good standing with you once again and continue to fulfill their God purpose, knowing that they are on your clock. So we praise you, God, for your word on tonight. We praise you that you will continue to strengthen your people, that we will be able to continue to constantly encourage one another with your words, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for you being God. We thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us in spite of ourselves. So we just give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until the next time, continue to know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Good night.